five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Irene Jacob, November 16, 1999. I don't think Irene has to.
Yeah,
okay. Well, we always start at the beginning, and I wondered if you could tell us something about your immediate family, your father, your mother, and any siblings that you have.
My father and mother, like everybody else. I have a brother and a sister.
Okay, and your father's name?
Ludwig Löwenthal, Lowenthal.
Okay, and your mother?
Johanna Lowenthal.
And her maiden name?
Jacob.
Oh, okay. And you have one brother?
I have a brother, Eli Lowenthal in Israel, and a sister, Eva Meisler, also in Israel.
Do you need the name spelled, Lucy?
Ali.
Lowenthal.
Oh, that's Lowenthal.
Okay, but the brothers, how do you spell the brother's name?
Eli, E-L-I.
Oh, yeah, okay. And Ludwig, and the mother was what?
Johanna. What was your early home life like?
I grew up in Hamburg, Germany, and we had a very close family relationship, and until 1938, it was pretty normal, except for some Nazi intervention already quite early in 1936, once we went on vacation to a seaside resort, and it was in a hotel which was many Jews in it, and we were sleeping in an annex, and the Nazis came with their guns up front, and we dashed out in the back. And that was already 1936, I believe. When we came to this place, the seaside resort, there were already signs Jews not wanted, but of course we didn't take much notice of that. But we were all okay, because we ran to the railway station and got a train home.
Were you frightened as a child? Were you a child?
I guess I was.
Did you not remember this?
I don't remember, you know,
situation?
Not the details of it. Mm-hmm. I just remember that we escaped.
What did your father do?
My father was an insurance broker.
Mm-hmm. And your mother?
My mother was a housewife mainly, but she also worked later with my father in England as a secretary.
They'd like to know about how you observed being Jewish in your home.
Oh, we were quite observant in our home. Really, Judaism was the center of our life. In fact, I went to a Jewish school in Hamburg. Of course, I went to synagogue every Friday night and Shabbat. Mm-hmm. And all the Jewish festivals, of course. And our friends were only Jewish.
Did your mother and father keep a kosher home?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You were observant.
Yes.
Were you confirmed? Was there confirmation?
No.
They didn't do
First
that.
First of all, I was a member not of the Reform Synagogue or anything like that.
Right.
And you would call it here almost Orthodox in America. And of course, we sat upstairs and women did not get to be
Okay. I think it's not very routine in the Orthodox community here in Pittsburgh either.
No.
Mm-hmm. But your brother was born.
Oh, yes. Can I?
Sure, of course.
Go ahead.
about school?
I went to a Jewish school in Hamburg. You want all my schooling?
Yes.
That's a lot.
That's good.
I don't know what came out of it in the end, but
pretty good.
I went to a Jewish school in Hamburg. Then we emigrated to England.
When did you?
In 1938, just before the 10th of November. We were very lucky. We just escaped in the nick of time, left everything behind, but they packed it up late. Germans, as they are very organized and wanted our apartment, they packed everything up and we got everything in England.
They sent it to you?
Yes, my grandfather was there and he supervised it still. But the schooling, I went to England, I went to started at a boarding school, Regent's Park School. As a matter of fact, it was in Hampstead and right opposite the home of Freud. But I didn't know it at that time. Sigmund Freud had an apartment up there.
Oh, Sigmund Freud.
Yeah, in Hampstead. Uh-huh. Later, when I went to Wessex Gardens and then the war broke out and we didn't go to school for quite a while. And then I was evacuated to Carlisle, which is on the border of Scotland. Mm-hmm. Came home after 6 months, that was during the Blitz, and went to Finchley County School, and
so most of your education, you went to a Jewish school in Hamburg?
Only in Hamburg.
And at what grades? I mean, how
till
far
I was
along?
10 years old.
Till you were 10. Mm-hmm. Then you came to England
mm-hmm.
and went first to a boarding school?
First to a boarding
what
school.
What was it like?
I hated it.
Did you?
Well, there were a lot of refugee children there.
Uh-huh.
And so we spoke a lot of German when we were supposed to learn English. It was quite amusing, actually, because our English that we learned there wasn't always of the reputable kind. We came home weekends. My parents had a room in London, and we used the word of bloody this and bloody that, for example, but didn't really know what it meant. So we came home, and that's what my parents also learned. So you shouldn't learn from your children. No, but that didn't last too long. I mean, I was very happy to get out.
And you came home and then went?
And then we bought a house in London, uh-huh. Dunson Road, and came home. Yeah.
And what did your father do in London?
Same thing.
Oh, he did insurance. He was an insurance broker. And your mother worked with him?
Yeah, she was a secretary.
Okay. How did you observe your Judaism?
Could we have your birthday?
Oh, we need your
birthday. Oh, my birthday.
You'll do it.
April 20th, 1928. April 20th was an important date in Germany because it was Hitler's birthday.
I know that. Albert, do you know Albert Amschel?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's his birthday, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's why I know it's Hitler's
so
birthday.
We never had school on my birthday in Germany.
And you, did you join an Orthodox congregation when you were in England?
Yeah, conservative.
Conservative.
I mean,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
It wasn't black Orthodox by any means.
Right.
It was more conservative.
Okay. What was it like to be a child from another country? How would you describe it?
Well, you're not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Golders Green, which was pretty Jewish at that time. I think it's still there. And but of course, we had a very close home life. The synagogue was down the street. As I say, my sister and I went Friday evening and Shabbat, plus of course all the other holidays. And there were some Jewish children in the school. I had some nasty encounters once in a while when I was in Pigeon County School. But as again, my friends were Jewish, always.
And so that sharing the experience of the Blitz didn't...
Oh, no.
That didn't bring you closer to the...
Well, it did bring, you know, English people are very, they want to be on their own. Uh-huh. I think it's first time we talked to our neighbors is when the first siren went.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's when we talked.
So they...
But otherwise, we did not...
They don't come
But
over.
That's not Jewish, even a non-Jewish. That's English.
Okay.
They keep to themselves.
Right. And they give you the privilege of doing the same if that's what you want to do. Right. Okay. Could you describe, tell us something about the place that you lived?
Small house. We were 11 people in it in the beginning because my parents took in relatives from Europe. And... had a garden. My father was an avid gardener. I guess I inherited that. It was a unpretentious.
No, and I meant in
growing
the community.
Up.
What kind of a community was it that you lived in?
In the Jewish community, very much so, part of the synagogue. And as I say, all our friends and people my parents invited were only Jewish. But not English Jewish.
Well, that's
a difference.
That's different.
Oh, yeah. For example, there were two B'nai B'rith in London, one from the refugees and one from the English Jews. And the English Jews considered themselves a bit superior. And this went on even unto the days when my mother died about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, when the English B'nai B'rith wanted to join the refugee. Can you imagine that 50 years after the war?
They finally thought they might merge.
Yeah, I don't think the refugees, so to say, refugees wanted them at that time.
I hope they didn't. So you were living in London?
Yes.
Okay. I think I wasn't clear on that when you said you went to Finchley County School.
Oh, Finchley County School is in London.
Is in London.
North London.
I thought maybe it was in Finchley.
No.
Okay, so you were living in London. So you came when you were 10, and then you became an adolescent in London. And what did you do for fun?
I did gymnastics.
Oh, did you?
I was a member of Bar Kokhba. And my social life really circled around that.
Your interest in gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Did you... Well, tell us about it. What's it like to be a gymnast?
I wasn't a gymnast. I was just a member. Bar Kokhba was a gymnastic group. And I loved our teacher, Mr. Yorka, went to Australia. And that was really a lot of my life. I also played violin.
And did you... have access to a library?
Every Shabbat, my sister and I would walk to the Golders Green Library.
You did. And your sister is older or younger?
Older.
Older. Is she close enough in age to have been a friend?
Oh, yes, she was a very good friend.
She wasn't. So you were never without a friend.
Yeah.
That's good. How about your brother? Where does he fit into the... Is he the
youngest? He was sort of... He's the oldest. He was sort of the favorite. It was this of my parents being a boy. He was more on his own, and my sister and I were very good friends at that time.
And who came next? your sister or you? Who's the second child?
My sister.
And you're the youngest?
Mm-hmm.
Did you join any youth groups other than the...
Other than Bar Kokhba? No.
Do you need that spelt?
Bar Kokhba, two words, B-A-R, capital K-O-C-H-B-A.
Does it have a meaning?
Oh, I know, it's a play tennis. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that Bar...
Bar Kokhba, no, it's named after Bar Kokhba, Hanukkah, you know. The year of Hanukkah.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
Okay, after, so you graduated from high school, from the county,
Finchley
County
School,
mm-hmm. And then where did you go to school?
That's it.
Okay, well, what did you do when you graduated from
county? I was a secretary. My first job was for the Friends of the Hebrew University, and which was Central London, West End. And although I was the low man on the totem pole, I met very interesting people who were later to play an enormous part on the establishment of Israel. And my other jobs too, for example, even as the low man on the totem pole, I showed Martin Buber and his daughter around London.
Did you?
Yeah. And after that, I worked for the Jewish Agency. Mm-hmm. They were 77 Great Russell Street, which was right next to the British Museum. And that was really the cooking pot of the State of Israel, because everybody was there. Weizmann, Ben-Gurion, Bentwich, you name it. I was with everyone.
You met them.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to cherish.
Yeah, I was the secretary of the immigration officer, who also interviewed people in 1948 who were volunteering for the State of Israel, for the establishment, like a lot of South African pilots, etc., came and wanted to volunteer. But you never know who was going to come into the room. I still remember one time somebody came with a gun and didn't point at me. I was sitting next opposite my boss. I pointed at him. It wasn't pleasant. You never know who came.
Wow, you lived in some very tumultuous times. You really have.
It's been interesting.
Oh, I can imagine. And harrowing, I would think, at some point or other. When you talk about immigration, was that immigration to Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They were
Aliyah,
helping
mm-hmm.
people to get there.
To Israel.
Okay. How long did you work there?
When I was about 17 to 18 or so, 60 to 18. I left school when I was 16.
16, mm-hmm. And you worked for the
agency? I worked for, as I said before, Friends of the University, and then I worked in London for the beginning of the Israeli embassy.
Did you? Oh.
Right in the beginning.
Who was there?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Temkin, I think, but okay. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
And then I made Aliyah.
Well, you
I went to Israel.
Oh, I didn't know that. How old were you?
19.
How did your parents feel about
it? I didn't ask. my brother already went, but I did not go. He was at the Weizmann Institute in Rehava. But I went on my own. I went to Haifa. As a matter of fact, I started in the kibbutz, but
did you?
I found that that was not for me. This, you have no idea what the kibbutzim were like in 48. Rats. I still remember I slept on the kitchen table, but the rats were coming up the legs. Oh. That's when I left. Not the pretty place it is today. No, it was very tough.
Very hard. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you went to Haifa, and what did you do there?
In Haifa, I worked as a secretary to Arab social workers. The Israeli government had a course for Arab social workers. The Arabs came from their villages 3 days they were in their villages, and the common language was English, because the Arabs didn't know Hebrew and the Jews didn't know Arabic. And I was the secretary. I took down the lectures from all sorts of people, you know, government people who lectured to the Arabs. And there was a number of women among these people, and they were very happy to get out of the villages. I think it's the first time they had any freedom
is
to be
right
on their own. No. No. You can imagine how nice it is to go away for 3 days a week.
Oh, it should be wonderful.
Yeah. And then I learned...
May I interrupt you? I'm not quite sure what, but mm-hmm. Could you explain it again? I didn't quite understand. You worked for a social work agency of Arab women who were social workers?
No.
The Israelis were the social workers?
No.
Wrong. Okay.
Well, almost.
Okay.
Arab social workers. I was just the secretary.
Right, I understand.
Who took
that.
Down the notes.
Okay.
But we had different people from all sorts of departments of the Jewish government.
Okay.
Giving these people talks. That's what I took down.
About what?
About Israel. What is available to them. And I still remember, for example, we took even one tour to Pekin, which is north. And for example, I saw that nearly all people were blind because of the flies.
Oh.
And then, you know, they taught them where to go for help, etc. Went back to Pekin. Many, many years later, there's no blind person.
Not one?
No. Yeah. Israel, the health system in Israel, would help them enormously, the Arabs.
And what year was this, roughly?
I went to Israel in 1948, just after the establishment of the state.
Okay. And there were Arabs who were still there, had not?
Well, some of the Arabs, yeah.
And that's whom you were dealing with, the Arabs who were living in Israel.
Yeah,
I have it right. Hmm?
Yeah, the Arabs that were living,
in Israel. Mm-hmm. So there, it was an effort to
help them
yeah. And to
Have a better life.
Right.
There. And I think they're still doing the same thing today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How long did you stay in Haifa? How long did you stay in Israel?
I stayed 10 years in Israel.
Did you? And you continued at that job?
No.
What else did you do?
I was an X-ray technician. I had studied to be an X-ray technician.
Okay.
In Haifa, with Copatrolim, and I passed, you know, an exam and all that sort of thing. That was my next education, mm-hmm. you might call it. And I was very lucky at that time, because the Israeli language didn't have too many Hebrew words yet for parts of the body. So I could use the Latin name, like humerus and femur, etc.
Okay.
By now, I think if I would study anatomy in Hebrew, it would be more difficult. But I was lucky in 1948 that the Vada Lashon, the Committee of Languages, hadn't formed these modern words yet.
So you used the...
Well, they used the Latin word.
Latin word. Which was easier.
Much easier.
I would think so. So what you're telling us is that you were able to pass the test.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
I did take an old time before that.
Right, okay. And then you became an X-ray technician
in a
hospital?
It was a clinic in Haifa. Later I went to Tel Aviv and worked in Beilinson in hospital.
Okay. All right, can you tell us something about your courtship and marriage.
Courtship and marriage. Very short.
Were you in Israel?
I was in Israel at the time, but I had gone to... I went home to see my parents every 1.5 years or so in England. And on the way, I'd stop wherever in Europe I wanted to. And that time, I stopped in Rome. And that's where I met Walter.
In Rome?
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to meet him there?
Well, we're cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt and uncle, but cousins, but we hadn't seen each other for... I married like over 22 years, mm-hmm. so we didn't really know each other.
So you would have been 25 years old. You would have.
I was 29.
Yes, I'm saying you would be in your. You would have been pretty young when you.
Yeah, we met very young, but we never saw each other again.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And my aunt and uncle came to Israel, and I told them I'm going home to England, but on the way I'm going to stop in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, Walter's also stopping in Italy. But we didn't really spend that much time together because that was Walter's first trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been there many times.
Mm-hmm.
So we just met in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
That was that. And just later he came to London also for a couple of days and we got engaged.
He was here at Temple.
Yes,
he was. I remember
uh-huh.
when he flew away and came back.
As a matter of fact, it was very funny. When he came back and he asked his secretary, Louise Markovsky, she just died this year, to get him a return trip to London, she said, what, Rabbi, are you getting married or something?
He said, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were married in London.
They were married, yeah.
Awesome.
So where did Walter spend his childhood?
Springfield, Missouri.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
My son lives in St. Louis now.
Oh.
Walter came to see us when I lost my mother, and he and Steve discussed Springfield, Missouri, and I was, I thought, it is a small world.
Yeah, totally different world.
Very different, right. Can you tell us something about coming to Pittsburgh and what that was like?
Yeah, quite frankly, I didn't even know where Pittsburgh was.
Well,
I heard of it once. I read Marsha Davenport's Valley of Decision.
Okay.
That was my first introduction. When I thought I'd go to Pittsburgh, I went to the library to look it up.
What did it say?
It sounded all right.
It said it was in the Midwest.
Well, I never thought I'd go to America. I didn't think I'd fit in.
Oh.
I really didn't think I'd fit in here. The Americans, more sophisticated, more emphasis on outward appearances, not as down to earth as, you know, Europeans or as I was in Israel. So
dressier and fancier.
Dressier, fancier.
The whole
number. Oh, but.
Well, it's true. It probably.
Of course, it's true.
It
yes,
was different. It I'm sure.
It was very different, and also that the relationships, you know, in the beginning, that people didn't drop in into your home. Yeah, that was different too.
They did not come to me.
They didn't drop in. You don't drop in very often.
You call first.
You call first.
Right.
In Israel, it was totally different.
Oh, okay.
Or even I had an apartment on the fourth floor, and when I was home, the people didn't go up fourth floor. I'd put out a flag or something like that
right.
on my balcony, and you know that means I'm home. But here, you don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't do that even.
You didn't have any family.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh.
No.
Right. And that makes a difference.
Hmm?
That makes a difference.
Yeah. No, we have no
problem. So you didn't have that to lean on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you're right, yeah. Right.
You know, the sister the same age that drops in.
Hmm?
A sister.